The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 9th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up to a high mountain apart from themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the Gospel of the Lord. And we'll see if those kids change into pink like flamingos. I don't know. Okay, we believe that we are the church. And that as the church, we are the body of Christ. So my question is, if we are the church and if we are the body of Christ, what body part are you? I asked that question on our mentor night last Monday night for our students and their mentors to discuss. And we'll come back to that later. But first, as I mentioned in the announcements, today is Transfiguration Sunday. It's the Sunday in the church year where we hear and read the lesson of Jesus being transfigured, transformed in front of three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. As I said to the kids, Jesus' clothes became dazzling white. Cloud comes and overshadows them, and they hear a voice from the cloud, which we understand to be the voice of God, saying, "This is my beloved. Listen to him." Well, as I thought about this event of the Transfiguration, I have to confess that I've never really understood it. I've heard many excellent explanations as to what it all means or meant, but it still puzzles me. And I know that my puzzler has been a little sore, but even if it wasn't, it would probably still puzzle me. And I've decided that I've learned to be okay with not completely understanding. For me, who likes to figure things out, the Transfiguration is one of those mysteries of our faith that go beyond understanding. It's a mystery to me. It moves me beyond that desire to figure things out to the reality that there's, with Jesus, there's always more than we expect. There's always more than I can figure out about Jesus Christ. More than I can comprehend, more than I can understand. You know, we see that in his disciples. Just before this event of the Transfiguration, just before Jesus went up to the mountaintop with Peter and James and John, Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. Yet he couldn't figure out what was happening when he was present as this transfiguration took place. We're told that he did not know what to say because he was terrified. He wanted to build buildings, dwellings, kind of like shrine-like structures to whether to preserve the moment or to contain it or as a place of remembrance, we're not sure. But what we do know is that Jesus can't be contained. Jesus can't be contained in any sort of building because in Christ there's more. There's always more. There's a story that Robert Fulghum tells in one of his books. It's called Reflecting Light into Dark Places. It goes like this. During the Second World War, German paratroopers invaded the island of Crete. When they landed at Malamée, the islanders met them, bearing nothing other than kitchen knives and hay scythes. The consequences of resistance were devastating. The residents of entire villages were lined up and shot. Overlooking the airstrip today is an institute for peace and understanding, founded by a Greek man named Alexander Papaderos. Papaderos was just 6 years old when the war had started. His home village was destroyed and he was imprisoned in a concentration camp. When the war ended, he became convinced that his people needed to let go of the hatred that the war had unleashed. To help the process, he founded his institute at this place that embodied the horrors and hatreds unleashed by the war. One day, while taking questions at the end of a lecture, Papaderos was asked, "What is the meaning of life?" There was nervous laughter in the room because it was such a weighty question. But Papaderos answered it. He opened his wallet, took out a small round mirror, and held it up for everyone to see. During the war, he was just a small boy when he came across a motorcycle wreck. The motorcycle had belonged to German soldiers. Alexander saw pieces of broken mirrors from the motorcycle lying on the ground. He tried to put them together, but couldn't. So he took the largest piece and scratched it against a stone until its edges were smooth and it was round. He used it as a toy, fascinated by the way he could use it to shine light into holes and crevices. He kept that mirror with him as he grew up. And over time, it came to symbolize something very important. It became a metaphor for what he might do with his life. He said, "I am a fragment of a mirror whose whole design and shape I do not know. Nevertheless, with what I have, I can reflect light into the dark places of this world, into the dark places in the hearts of people, and change some things in some people. Perhaps others may see and do likewise. This is what I am about. This is the meaning of my life." We may not always know what body part we are in this body of Christ. Our lives might sometimes feel a bit more like those shattered fragments of a mirror. Jagged, discarded, difficult to figure out how they fit into a larger whole, or how our lives fit into God's plan. Yet we know that God is always with us, shaping us and transforming us, using us in ways that we don't always see or know or understand. Ways we can't always figure out. In the midst of those clouds, especially the storms of life, God's voice always calls out to us to remind us who we are. "You are my beloved." After the event of the Transfiguration, the disciples were told are left with only Jesus. And only Jesus is enough. Jesus is always enough. Because in Christ we know that there's more. There's always more. In Christ we are God's beloved. And we know that God's love is enough. This love does amazing things in our lives. It transforms us. You are God's beloved. God only ever asks for you to be you. The unique you you are, whatever body part that is, to be who you are because you are God's beloved. So today on this Transfiguration Sunday, we're reminded to listen to Jesus and to remember that there's more. There's more to faith. There's more to life. In Christ, there's always more love, more forgiveness, more grace. In Christ, there is more to us than who we are. There's always more than just us, just me, just you. Because we each belong to Christ, and as the body of Christ, we belong to each other. We need each other. Whatever body part we are, whatever part of the body we are, we know that we are God's. We are wanted and needed and necessary. Like Christ, we are transfigured, transformed, and renewed by God's love. And our lives shine forth with that glory and that love of God. When we live out this love in our world, we live out that mystery of our faith that the light indeed shines in the midst of the darkness and that the darkness will not overcome it. And neither we nor our world are ever the same again. And that is really good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.